This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Anchoring techniques specific to real estate deals. How to set the first number so the deal moves in your direction. In short, the side that sets the first number in a real estate deal holds a powerful psychological advantage. Real estate anchoring determines the range in which a deal gets done. And doing it well requires more than boldness. Set your anchor with specific evidence, not instinct alone. Choose the right anchoring technique for the type of deal and the other party's mindset. Know how to counter an anchor before you ever throw your own. Definition: real estate anchoring is the deliberate act of naming the first significant number in a property negotiation to establish a psychological reference point. Every subsequent offer, concession, and counteroffer is measured against that initial figure, giving the side that anchors first a structural advantage over the deal's outcome. I watched a buyer lose £40,000 on a terraced house in Belfast because he waited too long to speak. The seller named a price. The buyer hesitated, thought it felt too high, but could not quite bring himself to challenge it directly. So he counteroffered from the seller's number rather than his own. He adjusted upward from the anchor rather than replacing it. The deal closed near the seller's opening figure, and the buyer drove home wondering what had just happened. What happened was real estate anchoring. The first number had done its work. It had planted itself in both parties' minds as the center of gravity for the whole conversation. And once that happens, every move you make is measured against it. Knowing this is not enough. You need a set of reliable techniques that tell you exactly how to set that first number, when to let the other side anchor first, and how to dismantle an anchor that has already landed. That is what this article gives you. Why the first number in a real estate deal carries so much weight. There is something about a specific figure that settles into the mind like a stone dropped in still water. The ripples all move outward from that point. In property negotiation, the opening number creates a psychological center, and both parties begin adjusting from it rather than from any neutral value. This is not a weakness in people. It is how the mind manages complexity under pressure. When someone is evaluating a property worth hundreds of thousands, they need a reference point. The first credible number they hear becomes that reference. It shapes what feels like a fair concession, what feels like a reasonable counter, and what feels like a win. Sellers who anchor high give themselves room to concede and still land where they want. Buyers who anchor low pull the eventual deal price down even when the seller refuses to accept the opening bid. The anchor does not need to be accepted to do its work. It just needs to be heard and left standing. Understanding this matters before you pick up any specific technique. Every method below is built on the same foundation. Whoever frames the number frames the deal. 5 anchoring techniques for real estate negotiations. Technique 1. The evidenced high anchor for sellers. What it is? An aggressive opening price that is supported by specific market data, making it difficult for the buyer to dismiss without their own evidence. What it is designed for? Sellers who have comparable sales, recent market activity, or property-specific improvements that justify a price above what the buyer expects. How it works. Number 1. Gather 3 to 5 comparable sales in the same area from the last 6 months. Use price per square foot, not just total price. Number 2. Identify 1 or 2 features that distinguish your property: recent renovation, larger garden, off-street parking, or planning permission already in place. Number 3. Name your opening price as a specific figure tied directly to those comparables. Based on the 3 sales on the street in the past 4 months, and accounting for the new kitchen and extended garden, I am pricing this at £385,000. Number 4. Present the comparables as a physical document or a structured email before or during the negotiation. Specificity makes the anchor credible, and credibility makes it sticky. Number 5. Stay quiet after you name the number. Let it settle. Do not soften it or immediately offer concessions. When to use it? When you have strong data and a property with genuine distinguishing features. When not to use it? When your comparables are weak or when the market is clearly moving against you. An evidenced anchor that does not hold up under scrutiny destroys trust and can collapse the negotiation entirely. Quick example. A seller with a 3-bedroom end terrace opens at £420,000 and immediately tables a 1-page summary of 5 comparable sales. The buyer's first counter of £380,000 feels like a victory for the buyer. But the deal closes at £405,000 because the anchor held. Eamon's note. The document is not a formality. It changes the dynamic immediately. The buyer is no longer negotiating against a number. They are negotiating against evidence. Technique 2. The low bracketing anchor for buyers. What it is? An opening offer set well below your actual target, designed to pull the final price down by creating a wide bracket between your anchor and the seller's number. What it is designed for? Buyers who have room to move and want to create a negotiating range where the midpoint lands near their true target. How it works. Number 1. Determine your real target price before the negotiation. This is the price you would genuinely be satisfied with. Number 2. Calculate how far below your target you need to anchor so that splitting the difference lands at or below your target. If your target is £320,000 and the asking price is £350,000, an anchor of £295,000 creates a midpoint of £322,500. Number 3. Frame your opening offer with a calm, direct rationale. Do not apologize for it, and do not lead with an emotional pitch. I have reviewed the recent sales in the area, and based on condition and market trend, I'm coming in at £295,000. Number 4. Expect a rejection or a counteroffer from the seller. That is the correct response. The anchor has still been set. Number 5. Move in small, deliberate increments. Each concession you make signals your ceiling. Protect it. When to use it. When the seller has not yet committed emotionally to their asking price, or when the market is soft and days on market data supports a low valuation. When not to use it. In a multiple offer situation, where a low anchor signals disinterest and risks being dismissed in favour of a more committed buyer. Quick example. A buyer anchors at £295,000 on a property listed at £345,000. Seller counters at £335,000. 3 rounds of measured concessions later, the deal closes at £317,000. The buyer's real target was £325,000. The anchor worked. Eamon's note. The fear of insultingly the seller is the thing that costs buyers most. A well-framed low offer is not an insult. It is an opening position. Technique 3. The precision anchor. What it is? Using a highly specific, non-round number as your opening figure to signal that your price is the result of careful calculation, not guesswork. What it is designed for? Any negotiating party who wants their anchor to carry the weight of research and specificity rather than an obvious round number estimate. How it works. Number 1. Calculate your target using a real method price per square foot multiplied by floor area, comparable sale prices adjusted for condition, or replacement cost minus depreciation. Number 2. Express the result as the precise figure your calculation produces. Not £300,000, but £297,400. Not £350,000, but £353,750. Number 3. When the other side asks how you arrived at the number, explain your method in clear, simple terms. I took the average price per square foot from 4 comparable sales and applied it to the 1,150 square feet of usable floor area here. Number 4. Do not round your number when presenting it, even if the other side tries to round it for simplicity. Hold to the specific figure initially. Number 5. Treat any movement from your precise anchor as a deliberate concession, not a correction. When to use it. In negotiations where credibility is contested or where the other side is likely to challenge your basis for the price. When not to use it. When your calculation method is genuinely weak or based on insufficient data. A precise number attached to shaky arithmetic is worse than a round number with honest uncertainty. Quick example. A buyer offers £312,600 on a property listed at £340,000. The seller immediately asks how the buyer arrived at that number. The buyer walks through the comparable data. The seller cannot easily dismiss it. The deal eventually closes at £326,000. Eamon's note. Round numbers feel like guesses. Specific numbers feel like conclusions. That difference matters at the table. Technique 4. The range anchor. What it is? Offering a price range rather than a single figure, where even the more favourable end of your range is positioned near your target. What it is designed for? Situations where naming a single opening price feels premature, or where you want to appear collaborative while still directing the negotiation toward your target. How it works. Number 1. Set a range where your preferred outcome sits at the end most favourable to you. If our target is £330,000, the range might be £330,000 to £345,000. Number 2. For buyers, the lower end of the range is your target, so the upper end still sits below the asking price. For sellers, the higher end is your target, with the lower end still above your floor. Number 3. For in the range as a reflection of market uncertainty rather than personal preference. Given the current market and the work needed on the roof, I see this property sitting somewhere between £295,000 and £310,000. Number 4. When the other side responds, they will typically move toward the end of the range that favours them. Your actual target is already built into the end that favours you. Number 5. Hold your target end firmly while appearing to negotiate within the range. When to use it? When building rapport matters as much as price, or when you need the other party to feel heard and given options rather than confronted with a hard number. For more on managing the relational tension that surfaces in high-stakes negotiations, how to de-escalate arguments during meetings offers useful grounding. When not to use it? When the other party is highly experienced and will recognize the technique. A seasoned negotiator will simply pull toward their preferred end and treat it as your opening single figure. Quick example. A seller frames the property at £385,000 to £400,000. The buyer counters at £380,000. The seller responds from £395,000. The deal closes at £389,000, right inside the seller's original target range. Eamon's note. The range feels like generosity. It rarely is. But it gets deals moving when a hard number would cause a stalemate. Technique 5. The concession pattern anchor. What it is. A technique focused not just on your opening figure, but on the deliberate pattern of concessions that follows it, signalling to the other side where your true flaw or ceiling lies. What it is designed for. Extended negotiations with multiple rounds of offers, where the pattern of movement communicates as much as the numbers themselves. How it works. Number 1. Set your opening anchor with one of the techniques above. Number 2. Plan your concession sequence in advance, making each concession smaller than the last. If you move £10,000 in the first round, move £5,000 in the second, £2,000 in the third, and £500 in the fourth. Number 3. The diminishing concessions signal to the other side that you're approaching your limit. This psychological message often stops the other party pushing for one more round. Number 4. Never make an equal or larger concession after a smaller one. That pattern suggests you have more room than you're showing, and it invites continued pressure. If you feel pressure to move against your plan, tension suppression versus tension resolution addresses exactly how to hold your position without generating hostility. Number 5. Your final small concession signals closure. Many deals get done on the last small move because both sides feel a resolution approaching. When to use it? In any negotiation with multiple rounds, especially where the other side has a pattern of pushing for one more concession. When not to use it? When the deal must close in a single session. The concession pattern technique requires time to work, and in a one-round negotiation it provides no advantage. Quick example. A seller anchors at £400,000. Over 4 rounds the seller concedes £12,000, then £6,000, then £2,500, then £800. The buyer reads the pattern correctly and stops pushing after the third round. The deal closes at £378,700. Eamon's note. The pattern is a message. The other side reads it whether they know they are reading it or not. Make sure the message you send is the one you intend. Choosing the right technique for your situation. Not every deal calls for the same approach. Here is a direct mapping to help you decide quickly. Situation best technique. You are the seller with strong comparables evidenced high anchor. You are the buyer with room to move low bracketing anchor. You need to signal careful research precision anchor. Rapport matters as much as price range anchor. Multi-round negotiation is likely concession pattern anchor. Other side is aggressive and anchored first counter their anchor explicitly, then use precision anchor. The brief narrative guide is this: if you have strong data, lead with the evidenced high anchor or the precision anchor, because credibility is your strongest tool. If you are buying and the market is soft, the low bracketing technique gives you the most structural room. If you are unsure about the other party's emotional state or relationship to the deal, the range anchor buys goodwill without surrendering your position. And in any deal that is going to run over multiple sessions, build your concession pattern from the start, even if you use another technique to open. If the other side anchors before you do, Do not simply counteroffer from their number. Name their anchor, challenge it with your own evidence, and immediately set your counteranchor. Responding without challenging first is how buyers walk away having paid the seller's price. For a structured approach to grounding yourself before you respond under pressure, the CORE framework is worth keeping in your back pocket. Where these techniques break down in practice. I have made every one of these mistakes personally. Knowing the technique is not the same as executing it cleanly under pressure. The mistake: anchoring without evidence. Why it happens. Confidence in your own position leads you to believe the number is self-evidently right. What to do instead? Prepare your supporting evidence before you enter the room. The data earns the right to anchor boldly. The mistake: anchoring too close to your target. Why it happens. You fear insulting the other side or starting a confrontation. What to do instead? Remind yourself that a negotiation with no room to move is a negotiation you have already lost. Give yourself genuine space. The mistake: failing to challenge the other side's anchor before counteroffering. Why it happens. The instinct is to respond with your own number, not to argue with theirs. What to do instead? Always name and reject their anchor explicitly before you present yours. That figure does not reflect what the market data shows. Here is what I am working from. The mistake: making equal or increasing concessions after your anchor. Why it happens. Pressure in the room and the desire to close the deal. What to do instead? Plan your concession sequence before you walk in. When you feel pressure, that is the moment to hold your pattern, not to abandon it. Learning to hold ground without escalating the tension is a genuine skill. The deal method offers a useful structure for that kind of standoff. The mistake: using the range anchor with an experienced counterpart. Why it happens. The technique sounds sophisticated and collaborative. What to do instead? Read the room. If the person across the table has done this many times, use a precision anchor instead. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building real fluency with these techniques over time. Reading about anchoring is not the same as being able to execute it under pressure in a live negotiation. The gap between understanding and performance is where most people lose deals. Here is how to close that gap. First, debrief every negotiation you conduct, even small ones. Ask yourself who anchored first. Did I challenge their anchor before responding? What was my concession pattern, and did it hold? The discipline of reflection is what turns experience into skill. If a negotiation went wrong, the recover method gives you a practical structure for understanding what happened and repairing it where possible. Second, prepare your anchor and your concession sequence in writing before every significant negotiation. A plan made under the pressure of the table is no plan at all. Third, practice the technique of challenging an anchor out loud, because it feels more confrontational than it is. Say the words: that number does not reflect what the evidence shows. Say them until they feel natural. Over time, you will develop a feel for which technique fits which situation before you sit down. That instinct does not arrive through reading. It arrives through repeated, conscious practice, followed by honest reflection on what worked and what did not. Rebuilding trust after a negotiation that broke down sharply is a separate skill, and the bridge method addresses exactly that. And if the person you're negotiating with has institutional power over you, the value method provides a way to advocate for your position without triggering a defensive shutdown. Here is the truth of it. Real estate anchoring is not about being aggressive or clever. It is about arriving prepared, speaking first with confidence and evidence, and holding your position with the quiet strength of someone who has done their homework. That is a skill you can build. Start with one technique. Use it deliberately. Reflect on what happened. Then use it again. Frequently asked questions. What is real estate anchoring in negotiation? Real estate anchoring is the practice of setting the first significant number in a negotiation to pull the other side toward your target position. The first price stated exerts a powerful pull on every counteroffer that follows, because people adjust from whatever number they hear first. How do anchoring techniques work in property deals? Anchoring techniques work by exploiting a cognitive tendency to treat the first number heard as a reference point. In property deals, the side that names a price first sets the frame. Every subsequent offer, counter, and concession is measured against that original anchor rather than against objective value. Should the buyer or seller set the anchor price in real estate, either party can anchor effectively, but the side with stronger market data usually benefits most from anchoring first. Sellers anchor with an ambitious listing price. Buyers anchor with a low opening bid. Whoever sets the first credible number with supporting evidence tends to control the negotiation range. What makes an anchor price credible in a property negotiation? A credible anchor is backed by specific, verifiable evidence comparable sales, price per square foot, repair costs, or market trend data. Vague or obviously unreasonable anchors invite dismissal. The more precise and well-supported your opening number, the harder it is for the other side to ignore it. What are the biggest mistakes people make when anchoring in real estate? The three most common mistakes are anchoring without evidence, anchoring too close to your own target, and failing to respond to the other side's anchor before counteroffering. Each one gives away control of the negotiation frame and lets the other party set the psychological center of the deal. How do you counter an anchor set by the other side in a real estate deal? Counter an anchor by explicitly rejecting it before you respond. Name the anchor, state why it does not reflect the evidence, and immediately set your own counter anchor with supporting data. Never simply split the difference from their number. That rewards their anchor and surrenders half your position without a concession. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.